It's good to be here. It's good to be in Phoenix, where it's nice and warm. Of course, it's in Austin. It's about 60-some degrees, so it's not too bad. But I'm originally from Chicago, so right now it's pretty cold back there. And then for the Super Bowl, I guess it's really going to be cold. Yeah. But I'm thankful to be here. I'm so thankful I finally get to meet Gary. Because you know what? If it wasn't for Gary, I wouldn't be here. Because I started listening to him. And when I was starting to come out of all the stuff that I had been indoctrinated with, I finally started coming out of that, and I got a hold of Gary's teachings, and it just kind of exploded, and what was happening with me, and he was confirming it. Mm-hmm. And then I started listening to Mike, and then the things that he said, and it was like, oh my gosh, there's somebody else out there that, you know, was confirming what I, you know, was feeling at the time too. And it's like, wow, this is really, really good. So, you know, like I said, it's just so finally great to get to meet Gary, to finally see him and say thank you, because I would not, like I said, I wouldn't probably be up here today if it was not for him. So, you know, this morning I was gonna get my contacts, because I wear contacts, and I didn't wear them yesterday because I had to get up and get to the airport at 5 a.m. and I didn't want to put them in, so I put them in the little case. And this morning I was gonna put them in, so I get up, go to my contacts, go to put them in, there's no solution, and they're all shriveled up. And I don't know if you know contacts, but they're all shriveled up, and they're all sitting, you know, they're sitting in the thing, and I start to freak out, going, oh my gosh, I can't put my contacts in. You know, this didn't go according to what I had planned. Mm-hmm. And so it was like, this changes everything. And I was like, well, yeah, it does change everything. It changes, you know, what my day was going to be, but it didn't change the truth.
That's
right. So it, you know, no matter how many times that you think you know, like Gary said, we haven't even begun to know. I mean, I can't sit up here and I can't tell you that I know everything, or I've mastered this, or I've got this. I can't tell you that, because you know what? I don't know Jack. And for those of you who've never heard that, there's a word that goes behind that, I'm not gonna tell you what that is. But it's true, you know, we can never say, oh, you know, I've got it, I know everything, because we don't. And, you know, in preparing for this message, you know, I kept thinking, how am I going to put into words something that you cannot describe? It's hard. How am I going to put this in the words? Because words are containers, and you're sitting there trying to contain something and communicate something that can't be contained. So how am I going to put this? How am I going to talk about? How am I going to talk about living life from within? You know, when the truth was, there's no me, there's no you. You know, there's we all believe that, there's no me, there's no you. But how can I sit up here and talk to a you that's out there from a me that's here? How are we going to do that? And I'm thinking, well, since there's no me, there's no you, I can't really talk to you. So, hey, it's over, let's go and eat. But that's not how it is. There is a you that's sitting out there in this body. There's me that's sitting up here trying to talk to you. So we have to use some words that are actually kind of enforce a duality, but they're really not. And what I want to do is just to try to help you to understand some spiritual truths from my own journey. I can never sit up here and tell anybody, this is how it is. You have to do this. I'm only up here sharing you, this is how I got to where I'm at and what has helped me master peace and walk in the truth of my being, as Gary says, to walk in the truth of who I really am. I mean, the Bible tells us that the natural man cannot accept the things of the Spirit. And that's true. You're never going to understand this up here. The mind is never, ever going to understand this. It doesn't have the ability to even begin to understand this. So I'm not going to sit up here and try to tell you what you believe is wrong or what I, you know, what I believe is wrong. It's like a diamond. Life, which is all there is like a diamond. There's a lot of facets to it. If you turn it one way, you might see green. If you turn it another way, you might see blue. You know, you turn it another way and you're going to see all these different colors. But it's all a diamond. It's just the way that you're seeing it. And so that's what these meetings are. Gary has a way that he sees it. Mike has a way he sees it. I have a way I see it. And so we're all just sharing it, but it's all life. It's all this diamond with different facets. So if I can ask you to do one thing is, I don't want you to think about what I'm saying. Not right now. Because a lot of times, you know, we have people get up here or, you know, you're listening to somebody and you're thinking about what they said. That you're really not then listening to the whole thing. And so I'm just want you just to sit, just to listen. And as Gary said, just let your thoughts go. Don't think about what I'm saying at this particular time. And you know what? Just listen to it. I remember there were times when Mike would speak and I would hear what he said and I'm like, what? And I would just kind of like hone in on that. And a lot of times the mind wants to find something it doesn't agree with. And then it's really busy trying to pick that thing apart. And that's how I used to be. I would listen to some of the things that maybe Mike said, and I would listen going, well, wait a minute. And then I'd be too busy picking that apart that I really missed the nugget that he really was trying to say. So that's why I just want you just to close on off your thoughts, just listen, close your eyes. Sometimes that helps. I love to close my eyes when I listen to people because then I can just hear what they're having to say. The other thing is, in my job, I have to deal with people constantly. I work as managing a staffing agency, so I manage a lot of people and a lot of different personalities. And I can say the same thing to 5 different people. And those 5 different people, if I ask them to repeat back to me what I said, I get 5 different answers. It's like they told me 5 different things. It was like I told them 5 different things. So it's in one of these things that when we listen to things through these filters that we already have up. And so, you know, one of the great things with Gary is like, let the filters down. Just let them down and listen. You know, when Mike talked like last night about the confused mind, that's where I was at. I had a very confused mind. I had so much teaching up here that I didn't know what to think. I mean, I had teachings from, you know, when I was young, and then I had teachings, you know, growing up that, oh, you know, lay hands on it, name it, claim it. Then I had teachings, you know, about the goodness of God and, you know, that you didn't have to, you know, bribe God to do things for you. Then I had teachings when I started getting into this about life and living from within. And I just had so much stuff up here that I was paralyzed. I didn't know what to do. And there isn't anything worse than when you feel so paralyzed that you're afraid to do anything. And that's where I was. I was just so confused and so, you know, terrified. I didn't want to do anything. And to me, that's one of the kind of the worst hells you can be at is it's just being afraid to do the wrong thing. You know, that's where I was in my life. I'm afraid to do the wrong thing because I was too busy trying to figure out how to do the right thing. So I decided I had some spring cleaning to do. And I had to clean and let go of a whole bunch of things that were in the attic up here. And, you know, the first thing is I had to let go of circumstances that I judged as either good or evil. Then I had the realization, and it just began hitting me a little while, that I had to get rid of the thought that life was inside me so that I could get quiet. Because I was paralyzed because I thought, well, life is in me, but I just need to be quiet. I just need to hear. But that focus was on me again. I need to get quiet. I need to hear. And all I could think about is, I need to do this, rather than letting life do it. It was me. I've got to get quiet. Well, how many times do we think we've got to do something, we don't do it? Or we're so busy trying to conjure it up to get it done. And that's where I was. I was just always trying to do it myself. I've got to get quiet. I've got to get quiet. I've got to figure out. But then the thoughts would still come about, you've got to get quiet, you've got to get quiet. Then I really never got quiet because I was trying to be quiet. So it was like this little rat on a maze, just constantly going and going and going. And it was hard for me to do. And I just remember, I don't even think I was getting quiet, I wasn't doing anything, but it just kind of hit me. And what truth became to me is that I didn't look at it as life living within me anymore, but I looked at it as life living uncontained and expressing itself through me. Now you kind of look at me going, what? But it was not life living itself in me anymore. It was that life was living uncontained and through me. There's a very big difference. Because there's two realms. All right, there are. There's two realms. There's the realm that we're living in right here. We're conducting this, you know, we're conducting the meeting, you know. I'm sitting here and I've, you know, met the Lindas. And I've, you know, talked to Rochelle and Gary. And, you know, so this realm here, it's real. Okay, it is real. You know, and then there's the other realm, though. It's the realm of truth. And it's the realm where there's not a Linda, and there's not a Rochelle, and there's not a Gary, and there's not a Mike. Okay? It's the realm of truth. And I don't know, probably a lot of you didn't see my teaching last time, but I used to work at a school, so I'm very visual. And I bring props, because I think sometimes it just helps us to learn. And a lot of us have had the teaching, you know, that we have this higher, you know, God, universe, whatever, that there's always this higher power. Okay, this other, that's something greater. And then there's an us. And somehow this us gets to be in union with this, and it becomes one. And that's how our thoughts of how we have thought that this has been, where it's God and it's us, and we're joined together to become one. But I don't know if you, but when I was young, if I put 1 + 1 on my paper, it was always checked wrong. Because 1 + 1 will never equal 1. Okay, you're always going to have 2. You're going to have this, and you're going to have a me. Mm-hmm. And then I had seen, it's not how life it is at all. There's only life. There's only this. Mm-hmm. But rather than being this and a this, And there's a whole bunch of these little things. There's a Linda, there's a Rochelle, there's a Gary, there's this, and then there's all these little things that are different. I realize there's only this. But then it's over here. And then it's over here. And then it's over here. Is it any different? No, it's still this. It's not separate. Because then if I put it back together, it's one. It's the exact same thing. It's not any different. Instead of having this, because if I put this with this, it's still not one. There's still some separate differences. Because this came over here and it's trying to join itself. This came out of this, and it's the exact same thing. And that's what life is. It's this, it's all there is, and that's what you are. You're this life, and it's here, and it's here. And it's just expressing itself in all these different areas. Life is expressing itself right there, and right there, and right there, and right here. That's life expressing itself. It's not a you. And there's that realm too. I mean, that's the truth realm. But then there's this realm, where we have these bodies and we're talking. So you do have to dwell on two different realms. So I think a lot of times, you know, when we speak that, people think we're talking duality, but what I want us to focus on is which one is real and which one is truth, because they're two separate things. I know you're looking at me go, huh? But I'll get to that. When I was learning about life living from within, I ask a lot of questions. And you know what? Never be afraid to ask questions. Questions are good. Question everything. I questioned everything. I was like, okay, I'm learning to live within. You know, I've got to learn to live within. And then I started asking questions like, okay, what's living within and within what? Okay, if something is living within, what is it that's living within? And where's it living within what? Within this body? You know, is it my spirit who is joined with, let's say, God's spirit that's living within a body? Is that what living from within means? You know, I was asking all these questions because it wasn't adding up to me. Especially when I was learning about this, that there was only the one life. And that's all there was. It wasn't making sense that, okay, then something's got to live within a me. I'm not getting that. Because this was all there is. So what can be living in me? It wasn't adding up. So the phantom man always wants to debunk anything that he cannot be a part of, or anything that tries to disprove him. Mm-hmm. And that's why this message of oneness is really hard to understand, because it disapproves the phantom man. It gets rid of him. What do I mean when I'm talking about the phantom man? Because that's my favorite line, to call this person who we think we are is the phantom man. That's what I call him. Because what's a phantom?
An illusion?
It's someone. Yeah, a phantom is something that's projected and it looks very real, but it's not. You know, people have phantom pain. A lot of times, if you know, they're in an accident or something, and you know, they cut off one of their limbs or something, they have phantom pain. It's not really there. the leg isn't, but the pain is there. And so that's what I like to call, it's a phantom man. It's the identity that we think we are. It's this persona that you see in this realm. You know, when you talk to somebody and you kind of say, oh, you know, I really like that person because they have a great personality. But what is it that you see that you really like about them? It's because they're likable and things like that. That's a persona. And that's part of the phantom man. It's the personality with its likes and its dislikes. It's the man who judges everything by good and evil. It's the one who lives by the five physical senses. It's the one whose personality has been shaped by words that have been spoken over him. How many of you know that some of the reasons that, you know, this phantom man is the reason that he is because of the words that he's had spoken over him? I used to work at a school, and I got proof this. There was a little kid in our school. He was as sharp and smart as a tack. I mean, he had a tremendous IQ. But if you were to look at him and you talked with him, you would think that he was dumber than a box of rocks. Because everything he did was not indicative of his true intelligence. But everybody called him a dummy. And everybody said he was an idiot. And so, because everyone spoke that, he believed, that's what he believed he was. He believed he was an idiot. Well, because he was believed it, he acted like one. So then the first time then when you would meet him, that's what you would think about him, because that's the way he acted. So it just reinforced that personality in him, in that phantom man, that the kid was an idiot. Well, I just knew that he wasn't. So I just started telling him how smart he was and just started praising him and all this stuff. And you know what? He started to change. Now, that's before I totally knew what life was and how to deal with something that, but it still just proved that this phantom man that we think we are is because of the words that we've grown up with. You know, if your parents told you you were really, really smart, then you probably think, I'm really, really smart and I can, you know, I can handle anything. Or if you're very independent, you know, my mother always used to say, you're far too independent for your own good. Says, you know, you just want to go and you just want to do your own thing. And she would always say that over me. So how did I grow up? I grew up very independent. It was hard once I got married, having somebody tell, you know, that I had to do something somebody else wanted me to do. But I grew up very independent because that's who I believed I was. Because that's what everyone spoke over me. You're just so independent. So that's the phantom man, that person that you think you are, sitting there right now. And everybody has an idea of who they think they are. If I asked each one of you, who do you think you are? You know, some of you would say, oh, you know, we go by your nationality. Or someone would say, oh, I'm a fun-loving person. Or, oh, I'm a spiritual person. That's just the phantom man. That's not the truth. That's not life. So that's what I mean when I'm talking about the phantom man. It's what I see, what I smell, what I hear, what I touch, what I taste that develops all that. That's the phantom man. He's also a man that lives by increments of time. He lives by the past, or he lives by the future. And we all have memories. And we all kind of, if you did this one way in the past, you're going to do it another, again, the same way, because it worked this time, so I'm going to do it this time. So you live by things in the past. Or we live in the future. What's going to happen? I need to make preparations because this and this and this is going to happen. That's the phantom man. He lives in the past and he lives in the future. So he lives in time. Where life doesn't know time. Life always is. There's no past. There's no present. It's right now. It is. The phantom man who believes that something is bigger than himself because he believes there's something other than himself. What, y'all can't hear me back there? I always have to talk when I'm training. I have a very small room in my thing, and if I over talk, then it feels like I'm yelling. So right now I feel like I'm yelling, but just let me know if you can't hear. Thanks, Mike. But no, the phantom man is someone who believes that there's something bigger than himself because he believes there's something other than himself. Because the phantom man always has to have another. And you know why he has to believe there's something other than himself? Because if there wasn't, he wouldn't have anything to control. Because the phantom man always has to control. So there has to be something other than himself. It's the one who cannot believe that there's only one life and that's all there is. It's the one who cannot believe that life is something that he does not have to do. You know, the phantom man believes life is a something that he has to live. It's something I have to do. That's what life is. I have to live my life. That's what the phantom man thinks. Life is something to be lived. So he's got to do it. But if life is all there is, and it's this, and it's complete, what is there to do? What is there to add to it? What is there to subtract from it? It's complete. There's nothing for life to do. To me, to look within, I don't even know what I put here. To live from within made me look more at myself, and it reinforced a subtle duality. Like I said, I've got to live from within. So I've got to do this. I would have to go in my room and I would have to try to be quiet. But it enforced that there's a me that's got to do a something. So it enforced that duality and it made the focus more on me rather than realizing that life is all there is. And it's working all the time. It's moving all the time. It doesn't need a you to express it or to help it along. It's the one that does the expressing, not you. And I know we're kind of thinking, well, wait a minute. Is that how this works? It's a very subtle. I'm trying to flip the switch on you to get, instead of looking at you having to get something forced out of you, I want you to just flip the switch and kind of realize that if this is all there is, this can't be inside something. Maybe it's the other way around. I said that life is all there is. Someone's asked me, is it spirit? It is. That's a facet of it. Is it unconditional love? Yes, it is. It's a facet of it. See, life is all, and it's so incomprehensible with this natural mind. I don't know about you, I cannot. If I say, what's all? You don't know what all is. You can't name specifically what all is. You can just say, it's all. But can you totally comprehend what all is? No. You can't. All you can say is, it's all. To you, that's, I'm just comprehending. It's all. So it's all, it's all. But what is all? We don't know. This natural mind can't know and can't comprehend that. So there's facets. It's spirit. It's unconditional love. But I call it life because even spirit and even unconditional love, we throw those terms around. There's still like a connotation of judgment of those things. We kind of somewhat know, well, it's spirit, so there's a judgment there. Then when we say spirit of, oh, well, you know, it's good. It's this, or it's unconditional love. We think we have an idea what that is, so we'll say, oh, well, it's just loving everybody. But what is that? What is that? We think we have an idea, but it's totally incomprehensible. It doesn't know any opposites. Life doesn't know opposites. Life doesn't know death. Can't know what death is. It's life. That's all it knows. It doesn't know abundance. It doesn't know lack because it's complete. If something is complete, how can it know what more than is, and how can it know what less than is? It can't. Doesn't know what healing is because it doesn't know what sickness is. It's never been sick, so how can it know healing? But the phantom man knows these things. But life doesn't, because life is complete. It's all that there is. It doesn't know a set number of days. The phantom man does, but life doesn't know a set number of days. You know, we've thought, you know, we've even set it to a set number of days. It's called a lifetime. We've given it, it's a lifetime. Life doesn't know that. Life doesn't know days. This statement came to me and it just was like, wow, that's so true, is life never fights to hang on. That blew me away when I heard that. Life never fights to hang on. What's it going to hang on to? I mean, it's complete all the time. There's no chance of something coming out of it or it losing something because it's complete all the time. What does it need to hang on to? What does it need to fight? It doesn't. It's the phantom man that tries to fight to hang on, not life. Life is eternal. I always thought that life, or that eternal, you know, meant forever. We've kind of grown up with that, you know, life means eternal. I mean, in my thinking, you know, eternal, you heard eternal life, it's life that never ends. But that's a time definition. It's forever. It's a time. But life doesn't know time, so you can't add a time definition to it. Eternal is always. It's always. Eternal life is always life. It's not talking about that it's life forever. It's always life. If I see a cat, okay, I'm looking at a cat. Well, you know what? I know. That's always going to be a cat. I don't say, well, that's a cat forever. Okay, I don't think forever that, you know, that cat's going to be forever a cat. I just think it's always a cat. Why do I think that? Because that's what it is. It's always a cat. That's what it is. It's not forever a cat. Do you see what I'm saying? You know, forever is a time that it's going to be a cat forever, where always is what it is. It's its identity, not its length of time of what it is, but its makeup. It's always a cat. You're not going to change it. It's a cat. That's what it is. It's always a cat. And that's what life is. It's not that life is something that is going to last forever. We think that life is going to last forever. It is. But when we say eternal, that's what we think. It's life that lasts forever. Eternal, it's just always life. That's its makeup. It's always that. It's not going to change. And that's what we've got to get out of when we think of eternal life, is these time terms, forever and all this. We got to think of what it is, its makeup. It's eternal. It's always that. It's never going to change. Because it cannot change, because life is life, that's what it is, it's eternal, it is always that, and it can never change, it truly can't be understood in this realm. Because things change in this realm all the time. Things are changing all the time. That's all this natural mind knows, is change. I mean, when we look by our five physical senses, things change. And that's all we know. And that's what we go by, is change. I got tired of just thinking that life was just feeding the dog, going to work, coming home, fixing dinner, you know, making money, and then leaving it to the kids when we die. You know, that got to be mortal than that. You know, that's what we think life is, because that's what we see. So I knew, okay, then life can't be just this. It has to be something that's different. When I started realizing that life can't be lived from within like we think it can, okay? Now, bear in mind when I say lived from within, like I said, we think that it's something that's inside this thing, or life, actually, let's do it this way, that here we are, okay? Here's us, and here's this little bit of thing of life, and it's living inside of us, okay? That's how most of us think, that, okay, there's us, and we got this little life inside of us. But then I started realizing something that is this, that is all, that is everything, can't be contained. You can't contain life. And that's what living within, for me, meant, is that it was contained. The very word living from within means contained inside something. I mean, within. If you put something within, it's contained within it. And then if you look at what the word contain means, it means to control. It means to restrain something. How can you restrain and control something that is everything, that is all? You can't. So that's why you can't put those definitions on life. It can't be controlled. It can't be constrained. It can't be contained within something. You know, the way my mind perceived it is, like I said, was life living in these bodies. And all of a sudden it hit me that no, that's not how it could be. When I was learning about life and oh my gosh, it's so much bigger than I can understand. How can that be contained? So I knew it couldn't be something that this physical body was containing. And then it just hit me. And it wasn't anything that I had to think up. It just was there, that it's not that life lives in these physical bodies, but it's that life is living uncontained through these physical bodies. And that these bodies are in life. It's the exact opposite. Life wasn't in a me. It was all this was in life. And that's why we could have life sitting over there, and we can have life sitting over there, and we can have life sitting over there. Because it's all contained in this, instead of the other way around. So that really hit me when it was, wow. It's life living uncontained. It's not life from living within, as we think, but it's life is living uncontained. What's it uncontained from? Okay, if life is living uncontained rather than living from within. And what I'm saying is what we are experiencing when we experience that peace and those thoughts going, that we live with no thoughts and life is just spontaneous and acting. We think that's living from within, but it's life living uncontained. What's it living uncontained from? It's living uncontained from the knowledge of separation. There's no life and a me. It's living totally unseparated. It's just living from the knowledge that it's all, and that's all there is. It's living uncontained from the knowledge of good and evil. There's no good, there's no evil, as we've judged what good and evil. Because you know what? I can talk to everybody, and everybody's idea of what good and evil is entirely different. You talk to some people, killing even an ant is evil. You talk to some people, blowing up, you know, a whole building is good. Everybody's idea is different. So it's uncontained from this knowledge of the natural realm. It's uncontained from the knowledge of what we see, what we feel, what we taste, what we hear. It's uncontained from believing that all that we have with through these five senses, that's life. It's uncontained from that. It's uncontained from that knowledge. But see, this mind and this body, that's all we can understand is what we get from our five senses. All we can understand is what we see and what we feel and what we taste and hear. That's all this phantom man can understand. But real life living uncontained does not live by that. The phantom doesn't want you believing that you can live life from within, because then there is a you that has something to do with it. And then if there's a you, then the phantom can have full control of anything, of even this message that we're speaking about. Because like me, like I was doing, I needed to get in there and get quiet and do all this stuff and thinking if I did this, then it was going to change everything. And you know what? The whole time it was just me messing everything up. Sometimes I'd get a few hits and sometimes I'd get a few misses. And then I'd judge it, okay, what did I do wrong? Okay, I must not have heard quietly enough. Or I might, you know, I must not have done this enough. But when life is living uncontained, it's living free of that. You know what? Life is complete. Life doesn't know what a mess up is. You know, as Mike said, life doesn't know what a mistake is. What's a mistake if it's complete? If there's no knowledge, there's no mistake. So to me, the truth was just became so real that it was life is living uncontained through these bodies. No boundaries. You know, when I say no boundaries, a lot of people think, what do you mean no boundaries? You gotta have boundaries. You know, if you don't have boundaries, you're just gonna do and say and do whatever you want. There we go, the Phantom Man. You want to do whatever you want. Well, why do you think you want to do something bad in the first place? That you got to have boundaries. Why does your mind go there in the first place? That I got to have boundaries. You know, we've got to have this. We've got to have this. Laws. Why is it that we think that if we have boundaries, that everything, you know, you're going to live within those boundaries anyway? To me, that's just the Phantom Man wants to exalt himself, because then he has his little kingdom and he can live within that realm of those boundaries. And if somebody steps over those boundaries, he's got full control just to tell you whether he likes it or not. It's his own little world. You know, again, when you think of boundaries, what is boundary? Boundaries are, it's being something that's being contained. Okay, it's control. Life can never have any boundaries because it's all. There's hundreds of books on how to set boundaries. A lot of books out there, you've got to have boundaries. And you know what? I used to be one of them that read them. I used to have this friend that she would borrow my clothes, and she would borrow my makeup, and she would do all these things. And finally, I sat her down one day and I said, you know what? We have to have some boundaries. And I told her, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this. Why did I do that? Because I wanted control. I wanted to control her actions. I don't want you doing this. And so we set boundaries. But you know what? Life doesn't have any boundaries. If you believe who you are, who you truly are, and you believe that about somebody else, what are you going to need boundaries for? Because the truth is, this life, it can't control another because it doesn't know another. It only knows itself, which is what we think is Linda and what we think is Gary, but it's really life. So it's not going to try to control, because that's all it is. Control is the building blocks to the Phantom's kingdom. They're conditions. And we talk about unconditional love. Well, unconditional love means no conditions. It's no boundaries. Love doesn't need conditions. The greatest epiphany I had, and it was actually the last retreat we went to, is I saw this about how life wasn't in me, but everything was in life. Is when I got on an airplane. Now, I didn't actually get into my first airplane fly until I was like 20 years old. So I was kind of like a late flyer. And I, you know, by that time you've heard all kinds of stories. You already have in your mind judgments of what flying is. So you're a little bit apprehensive. Well, I was a lot apprehensive. I didn't like to fly. So, you know, while I was going through this, I went through my phase. I would get on my knees before I got on an airplane, and I would sit there and I would pray, you know what, Lord, just hold this airplane in your hand and make sure that it's okay, and, you know, get me safely to where I need to go. And so I would pray that. And then, you know, when I'm walking through the airplane, I'd stop right before, from the little ramp to the airplane, I'd stop there, I'd lay my hands on the airplane, and then I'd pray over it again. And then I'd get in my seat and I'd pray all the way down and down the aisle and just kind of lay my hands and say, you know what, it's all safe. Well, then, you know, of course, you start realizing a little bit more. I started realizing, oh, well, life is within me. So then I'd get on the airplane and go, Lord, this airplane is safest because I'm on this airplane and because life is in me. And this airplane is safe because life is in me, so everybody on this airplane is safe. Okay, so I'd get through that, and I would go through that little thing. You know, now, come on, I know you've all probably, you know, you're probably over your airplane and that, so I'm not the only one. But then, when I was coming to this last retreat, it was like I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything. I didn't pray. Because normally I would, and I'm thinking, it wasn't until I actually sat on the plane. Now, you have to know, this is a really big thing for me. Like I said, I was the one that was laying hands on every little thing, just commanding that airplane to stay up in the air. You know, I even prayed over the pilots, you know, that even the engines, like, yes, those engines are going to work. You know, they're going to do what they need to do. I know Mike's laughing at me because he's like, what? It's an airplane. But that's how I would be. But this last time when I, before this time, got on a plane, it was like nothing. All of a sudden I'm sitting there going, it dawned on me, I didn't do any of that. And then it was just like, it came through as like, I don't need to do any of that because this plane's in life. This plane was in life. It wasn't that life was on this airplane. And again, it's not something that you can understand with this mind. It just was like, wow, life is all there is. It's everything is it. This plane's in life. And it was just like that peace was something that I could not describe. So this last time when I'm traveling here, nothing. It's like there was no apprehension, there was no nothing. I finally got to be like Mike was, is that I just get on that plane and that was it, because I knew it was in life. I didn't need to pray over it. You know, people ask me what my favorite saying is. I got a couple. I mean, one of is, you can't be one with something if there's only one. That's one of my favorite sayings is, how can you be one with if there's only one? If there's only one, with denotes two. So you can't be one with something if there is only one. So I love that. And the other one is, it is what it is because it is. It's one of my favorite sayings. It is what it is because it is. But what is it? That's what we all ask. What is it? It's the phantom man, though, that wants to put a label on it. Why do we want to put a label on it? It is what? Why do you want to label it?
Right.
So it can be judged. That's why you want to put a label on it. So it can be judged. You know, you see a dog. It's a dog. You put a label. What is that? It's a dog. Well, you see a dog. There's things that conjure up in your mind. If you've had a great experience with dogs, you're going to look at that dog and judge that dog. Oh, that's a nice dog. And you're going to judge it and say, oh, it's a nice, sweet dog. You're going to go, you're going to pet it, you're going to whatever. If you've been bitten like a dog, like I have, okay, you see a dog. You're going to judge that dog as bad. You're not even going to know you're that dog. I mean, I didn't for a long time while I was going through this. It's like, oh, that's a dog. Dogs are bad. So we put labels on it. You know, people ask, are you Republican? Are you Democrat? Well, if you say you're Republican, the Democrats already have an idea of what you are and are thinking a few choice things. And if you say you're a Democrat, the Republican thinks you're a few choice things and have a few other things. They've already judged based on what they think Republicans are, based what they think Democrats are. So we put labels on it. Even God, you put a label of God on it. You've judged it. Oh, well, it's this because this is my version of God. And everybody has a different idea of what God is. Labels justify the phantom. You put a label on it. I had a girl that I worked with. She was very, very pretty. Okay, very pretty. And people would label her that. Oh, she's pretty. She thought she could get away with anything because she had that label that she was pretty because people would tell her that. So what would you say? Well, you know, I'm pretty. I can do it. So labels justify also. You know, you say you're gay, you say you're straight. People want to know, you're gay, you're straight. Why? Why do we have to put, why can't it just be? Because it's got to be judged. This phantom man has to judge. We have to have labels in this realm so we can judge what's good and what's not. The phantom tells us that this life, that this is life all around us, that what we have right here, what we see, is life. And it's a set number of days with experiences and circumstances that happen in time. If you're good, you get an afterlife and you get to experience it with all the other good little children. And if you're bad, you get to fry forever. But that's the hardest thing to do, is crucify that phantom man with that knowledge of what you see with these natural eyes. Because that's what we see. That's what we think it is. Now, this realm is very real to the phantom man. It's very, very real because we live by the five physical senses. And am I saying it's not real? No, it's very real. This chair right here better be real because my butt's sitting in it, okay? So it better be real. So this realm is real, but it's not truth. And there's a difference. We don't think so, but there is. This is real, but it's not truth. Because if it was truth, if this realm was truth, then nothing would ever change in this realm. Because truth can't change. But this realm, things change. You know, my first son, he passed away when he was I'll use the term passed away because it kind of helps people understand. But he passed away when he was 2 years old. Okay. Believe me, my reality changed. Okay. When I have to go and you know, sign the papers to donate his organs, that was a reality. Mm-hmm. When I had to go to the funeral home and pick out a casket, that was a reality. Okay, so it was very real. Okay, it was a reality. But it wasn't truth. See, the truth is that life never dies. Truth is that there's no such thing as death because life doesn't know opposites. Reality was I had to go through that. Truth was that there's no such thing as death. So two different things. Life by its own definition is always life. There is never a variance of truth, of variance. There's no shade of variance through truth. It just always is. And, you know, we use the term absolute truth. You know, and I'm not going to be disrespectful or anything, but I never like to add the word absolute, because to me it means like, oh, okay, it's absolute, like there's real truth and there's fake truth. Just like there's real news and fake news. You know, I mean, it's like there's truth. Truth is truth. You know, you don't need to add an adjective to it that it's an absolute. It's truth is truth. It can't change. You know, absolute is just another label for me. You know, when you see, like I said, the cat, it's always a cat. It's a truth. It's not going to change into a dog. So this realm, reality, is real. But this realm changes. Truth, where life is, never, ever changes, because it's the truth. Jesus was real specific. I mean, I always look at him. He's our example. Okay, how he walked. He said, I'm the truth, the way, the life. The truth, the way, and the life are all the same thing. He said, I'm the truth, the way, the life. They're all the same thing. Life is truth, truth is life, and that's the way that it is. But Jesus wasn't saying, this man that you see here is truth, way, the life. It was who he really was. It was, I'm this life. I'm this. This is what I am. This is what you are. You are this truth. You're not what you see in this physical realm. He wasn't what you saw in this physical realm. That wasn't what the truth is. The truth was who he really was this life. It's the truth of what you are, that life. Mm-hmm. Instead, they looked at him and came up with this, you know, reality that they thought he was a man that had to, you know, shed his blood for this angry God. And they came up with that, which was farthest from the truth. The appearance realm is always needs to be changed. Always needs to be changed to the phantom man, because the phantom man sits on his throne of judgment, determining what's good and what's evil. He's in all his glory because he gets to do something. If the appearances are bad, he can either, you know, pray to God or lay hands on things like I did with the airplane and try to change them for the better. Or if their circumstances are good in your life, you're just going to see, okay, well, I got to keep doing what I'm doing. I mean, I used to say it all the time. Hey, you know, things are going good. I need to just keep doing what I'm doing. So you're trying to figure out, I need to just keep doing what I'm doing in order, because, you know, you want to keep the circumstances the way they are. You know, Mike told the story of a little boy. I love this story. He said that life, this story about the little boy, how the little boy was talking to his mom and they were listening to Mike, and Mike was talking about how life was happening, and the little boy said, oh, you mean life is really happening while we're making meatballs? And the answer is yes. Life is happening while making the meatballs, but you just have to make sure that making the meatballs is not what you're calling life in this appearance realm. Life is happening while you're making the meatballs, but you making the meatballs isn't life. It's life working through to make the meatballs being made. But the making of the meatballs isn't the life. There's a big difference. See, the Phantom Man wants to put it in the other way. Yeah. I'm just trying to flip things over for you to get him to look at what really should be is this life. So life is happening, but through. You know what? I think I'm going to stop here because food's here. Yeah. Yay! He's over there like, food's here. So I'm going to stop here and we'll pick this back up tomorrow. So hope you've enjoyed it. So. Good. Good.
Okay. Life is meatballs, okay?
And well,
I'm a chef 35 years. Life is meatballs. I'm sorry. In my mom's kitchen, life is meatballs.
Well, hey.
I'm just saying. Yeah.